Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you read verses 1 and 2, please? Let a man so what? Consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What's the first thing that we're to fulfill? Servants of Christ. You know, so many people are trying to seek the mysteries of God when they can't even serve yet. Hello? See, we're to be considered first servants of God before we can God release His mysteries. You must first serve, then the mysteries are released. See, you're not a steward of the mysteries of God until you are a full servant of the Lord. I hear it. So many people are trying to do the mysteries without being full service. And we are to be considered servants of the Lord. Now he says in verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewardship that we are what? That one is to be found faithful. Faithful. So the first thing is servants of Christ, servants of the Lord. And then the mysteries. We are stewards of the mystery of the Lord. Stewards of the mysteries. Is everybody okay? But we must be found faithful. Faithful in what? Faithful in everything. When you say you're going to do something, you better be faithful. Because you are earning the trust of God, aren't you? You are what? Earning. See, too many times the devil begins to put things between you and your training for service. Everybody goes through training for service. Everybody. Nobody just goes into service. First, you must fulfill the service. So that means that you must first be faithful. Then you become a servant to Christ, a servant to the body. And he begins to reveal mysteries so you can be a steward of the mysteries of God and that you have found trust and favor in him. See, mysteries are released by the favor of God. Nothing that you and I, hello, can go just take. You can pray all you want, and God is not going to reveal to you mysteries until you've been found faithful. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't get a revelation. The revelations he gives you is about you. Hello. He'll give you revelations. He'll give you chastening. He'll tell you about you. But the devil will come and tell you about everybody else. Well, look at such and such. And that, try to compare you with everybody else. That's the devil. Are you hearing? So, there must be a servant's heart before stewards of mysteries. So God establishes the heart of the servant before he reveals the mysteries, and allows you to become a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, we had a teaching talk called Speaking the Mysteries and so forth, and there is a package here, and it's called New Beginnings, and it's very powerful, and it's a series of teachings. But one of the things the Lord has impressed me is the understanding. Everybody wants to be a servant, but they want to serve in their way. And you can't serve in your way. And you're not going to just go out and serve. You're going to be trained to become a servant. And one of the things he's training you for is so he can put a servant's heart in you and get the old heart out. Are you hearing? Go to 1 Timothy 3. A servant's heart. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Start at verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position as a servant... The word bishop means somebody who's serving. Amen? You work your way up to leadership. You never just go into leadership. Now, the word bishop here actually is a pagan name. They used to use bishop as servants in the pagan rituals. It came from a pagan institute. But it's actually supposed to be servants. It's amazing how many bishops we have now because of the translation. But it's actually representation as a pagan, as many other things are in our world today. You know, as we are worshiping today, I saw the whole earth with radiant light coming from the earth up to the throne room of God. And everybody all over the world was just worshiping the Lord today. It was so intent. You know, and it goes back to where, and one of the things that he spoke to me was about Lucifer lost his position as praise and worship leader of the universe, but I've replaced it with my children. How? Okay. There, this is a faithful saying. If a man does desire to be a position of as a servant or bishop, he desires a good thing. But a servant then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. So that means there's training involved. Able to teach. So when you come, make sure you take notes so you can teach. Because if you're truly here, not taking notes, then your heart is not for service. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you act. Your heart is not right. Why? Because you're not willing to teach. Are you getting it? If you're not willing to teach, come on, now get it. Everyone in this room is called to be a teacher. God is trying to get your heart right. He says if you desire to be a servant of the Lord, you better be able to teach. Don't be offended. Learn. In verse 3, not given to what? Wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Doesn't put his job before his word. But what? Gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well. Now, we know he's talking about the house of children and family, but I'm telling you, there's another area that's deeper. Your house. Your house. You better rule this house. In other words, self-control. Not drifting. Not putting your eyes on things you shouldn't see. Not putting your ears on things you shouldn't hear. Not speaking to things you shouldn't speak. But having a guard over your gates. And maintaining this house, because by maintaining this house, you are maintaining a pure heart. Verse 7. Oh, no. Verse 6. Let's start at 5. Let's start at 4. One who rules his own house well, having his what? Children in submission with all what? Reverence. This is reverence of fear of God. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Boy, there's plenty of them. There's a lot of wannabes, but there isn't many willabies. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he falls into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony. In other words, there must be credibility in his life. He must be out of the world, not touching the world. Listen, people don't go right into service if they've fallen. If they go out and touch the world and fornication and so forth. There are preachers out there that are preaching who have fornicated and they have no right behind that pulpit right now. They should be off of it for a period of time. No matter what it is. There is more garbage going on in the body of Christ that is being allowed to happen. And people are idiots. By following them. You know why? Because they compromised with worldliness. Well, if the world does it and our pastor does it, well, then it's okay. It's not okay. You don't follow your pastor. You don't follow no man. You follow the ways of Christ. That's why he came into the natural realm. You follow his walk. Nobody else's. Moreover, he must have a good credibility among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Hallelujah. A servant. This is something where God is imparting a servant's heart. You cannot be a servant until you have a heart of a servant. And God will test you. And there is a period of time of testing and training before he puts you in service. There must be credibility, accountability. Is everybody okay? Go to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. You know, a servant's heart's got to be pure. You know, God has called everyone to fulfill some sort of office, but some people just haven't fulfilled the office. They're still out there handing out tracts. I mean, nothing wrong with handing out tracts. You know, but if that's where you want to stay, go ahead. But God's got more for you. Sometimes it only starts with handing out tracts. We used to make these CDs. One side was Spanish, one side was English. It was about a 5-minute cassette. And every window I would see that was rolled down in a car, I'd throw in there. And it was about salvation of Christ. It had no phone number to contact, no ministry name, no nothing. It was just about Jesus and them. In other words, if you receive this cassette today, it's because I am the Lord your God who's calling you. And so it was about a 5-minute little testimony ministry there. Conviction, counsel, and correction. And they could have had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or throw the cassette out. But I told them, if you rejected this, you won't see me again. But if you accept it, I'll see you when we get home. And every window I saw that was rolled down, and I'd walk into parking lots with a bunch of these things. Throw it in that window, and that window, and that window. Yeah. Then I had the toll booth ministry, too. Every time I go through the toll booth, they got one. Hey, how you doing? Here you go. See you later. Bathroom ministry, yeah. And I'll put it on the back of a toilet, whatever. Didn't matter. But that started out as a track ministry because I was earning the trust of God. He does not put you in position to serve until a period of time where you've earned His trust and it's your heart becomes a servant's heart. Everybody okay? Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to what? Fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your what? Your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions with all of your heart. The only way that you're going to maintain a servant's heart is, first of all, to get rid of yours. Every day you must surrender your heart to the Lord. The Bible says that the heart is the most deceitful. So you must give your heart to God. When you give your heart to God, He begins to give you His heart. Then He begins to train you and test you. He wants to see if you're going to be faithful to be a servant. Do you realize that what you do, all eyes are on you? So, now listen, like I said, don't be offended. This is all teaching, training. This is a training ministry. Are you hearing? Think about if you're going to services and you're just sitting there reading your Bible, not taking notes, and there's a young baby next to you. What kind of effect is that on them? This is what you must be looking at. See, you got to get your eyes off yourself. And how are you the example to others? Jesus came to be the example, and so are you. That is your first service, is to be an example. Does everybody understand? You have no idea how many eyes are on you when you're out and about, how you express yourself, whether you react or whether you respond. It's going to either witness Christ or witness flesh. And it's either people are going to call you a righteous one or a hypocrite. And people wonder why God hasn't promoted them. They wonder why. Why? Because they've not been faithful. Remember, Jesus said, you've lost your first work. You've lost your first love, and get back to your what? Your first works. In other words, never lose what God started you with. Never lose it. Never lose the training that you first had. That is your foundation all the way home. Why? He's trying to maintain a servant's heart. He says, fear God and serve Him with all of your heart, not part of your heart. None of your heart is supposed to have anything to do with this world. If you have a part of your heart in your business, in your job, in your finances, you've got to get it out. Your heart is not to have anything to do with this world. Your heart is to be the heart of Christ. Your heart is to be in the hands of God Almighty, and His heart is to be in you. You got a heart exchange. You've had heart surgery. And Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job is a powerful example of a servant of the Lord. As for maintaining a servant's heart. In verse 6, Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, these are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said, from where you been, Satan? Where are you coming from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. I love it because the Lord, see, the Lord questioned Satan. He didn't question anybody else.
Hello?
He only questioned Satan, where you been? Where you at, man? Where you at, Satan? He didn't question the rest of his sons of God. Why? Because they earned his trust. Satan lost his trust. That's why sometimes God will be questioning those individuals that haven't earned the trust of God. If you're listening. Is everybody okay? And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? And what did Satan say? He said, answered the Lord, said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I love that. Have you see, this is what God does with you. Have you considered my servant David? Have you considered my servant Melinda? Have you considered my servant? Are you hearing? See, now the devil's looking at all the servants of the Lord. And now the devil goes to the Lord and says, hey, how about allow me to consider this one? Hello? Why? Because the greatest weapon that you can use against Satan is your obedience to Christ. You know, we can bind, loose, and do all kinds of stuff, but he comes back and kicks people's butt. Why? Because of disobedience. There's open doors in their lives. And he says, well, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. Wouldn't you like God to talk to you about like you? There's none like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man who fears God and what? Shuns evil. In other words, he has a reverence to God more than anything else. He does not change. His reverence and his love towards God doesn't change no matter what his circumstances are, no matter what he's going through, no matter how much the devil stole from him, didn't whether he lost his family. You know how many people go back to the world because somebody in their life dies? Or the Lord didn't heal my daughter or my son or my wife or my husband, so I'm not serving him anymore. That person never had a servant's heart. Like I said, there's a lot of wannabes. There's not enough Willoughbys. And that's what God is doing right now. Like I shared, we talked, I think, yesterday morning from a word that came from us from the Lord saying that God was going to shake. There's been floods. There's been all kinds of storms and all kinds of things. And next you're going to hear about more earthquakes coming. More. Why? Because God is going to shake this earth like it's never been shook before. And he's going to shake his people to whatever is loose is going to get loosed. And whatever is going to stay immovable is going to stay strong. And in this, you will be chastened more than you've ever been before. He says, God loves those. That's why he chastens us. He loves us. So you will find yourself being chastened. You'll find that the tightening and the grip will be tighter and tighter. That is going to require more of you. To him. More of you to him. Why? Because time is running out. Don't ever lose that right now. We are in the end moments. Don't be deceived by what the world is telling you. Things are getting better. They are not getting better. Don't be deceived in the suck-shuck and the suck-up of the lies of the devil through the governments and everything else. The world is not getting better. Is everybody here? Now is everybody listening? Good. Now, he said, Job feared God and shunned evil. His heart was pure to serve. He was one that surrendered and submitted. What did he do? He surrendered and submitted. He did not look at his own life. His concern was about others. See, freedom is learned, isn't it? Freedom is learned, and it's obtained by submission. That's why the Bible says there are many who have learned but never came to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because freedom is learned, and by being learned, it is obtained by submission. In other words, an individual submits to put into practice those things he learned. That's why the Bible says, submit to God, then resist the devil. That's why most people can't resist the devil. Because they're not fully submitted to the Lord. Because they do not have a servant's heart. They're allowing things to come between them and God. If you do not fulfill your training, you cannot serve. You have no right to. Just to be out there throwing tracks around. There's a place and a position that God has for each and everyone must pay the price of going through the training. Matthew 24. We must maintain a servant's heart. Matthew 24, and verse 45. Read it with me, please. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in what? Due season. Now let me share something with you. There are those who want to be servants of the Lord, but they can't wait for the due season because they don't have a servant's heart. They go ahead of God on everything. They're anxious for everything. I got to have it now. I want to do this. I want to do this for God. I want to do that for God. I want to do this for God. Good. I know what you first need to do is die. You need to first die to yourself and let God build a house and get your little stinking paws out of everything that God's trying to build. Hello? That's why the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Some people just don't know what the word wait means. And he says here, listen, who is this servant, this faithful servant? Verse 46. Blessed is a servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him what? Doing what he first told him to do. He's faithful. In other words, he had this servant. See, somebody's got a servant's heart doesn't change. They do the same thing in front of people as they do behind people. Why? Because they're always in front of the Lord. A servant's heart stands in front of the Lord 24/7. The servant's heart stands in front of God all the time. And when there is a mistake, they are quick to repent because they stand before God all the time. They do not keep a distance between them and God because they know their heart can't survive without His presence. Because it's His heart. Listen, God is bringing us to another level. And we need to be set for this next level because there's going to be more devils released into the world. There's going to be more stuff coming to this world. Your fight today is easier than tomorrow. I hear him. Let's go on. In verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. In other words, oh, nobody can see me. Well, you know, God will know. Oh, the Lord knows my heart. Yes, he does. See, if you have to say the Lord knows my heart, then you don't have his heart. Every time you say the Lord knows my heart, you've given up his heart and taken your own back. Oh, the Lord knows my heart. When I hear people say that, I like to pull out that Holy Ghost baseball bat and pop their head off. No revelation, no rhema, no understanding, no fear of God. There has got to be such a fear of God, a reverence of God, that no matter what, that is your first priority. There must be a place where you hallow Him no matter what. Why? Because He stands before you all the time. You are carrying the King's heart, the Creator's heart. That's what a servant's heart is. He's a servant to the King, not a servant to self. And then He's a servant to the King's body, not a servant to people. He's a servant to what? The King's body, not a servant to people. I'm not a servant to people. I'm a servant to the Lord. And so by doing so, we must maintain a servant's heart, which is the King's heart. So every day when you get up, you get rid of your own stinky heart. Because the devil somehow exchanges this while you're sleeping. Hello? Every time you sleep, you come back brand new. It's another new day. Everything starts over again. That's why some people, they just get up and think yesterday's prayer is going to rescue them today. Nope. You don't have a prayer life, you don't have a life. And there's no way that you can maintain a servant's heart without prayer. See, you'll know your heart by its fruit. Doesn't change. It doesn't change. The servant's heart won't change. If you see it begin to change, then you've exchanged the servant's heart for your own back. See, a servant's heart is a life of service to the king. No wavering, no compromise, no complacency. Takes responsibility. Not blaming others for their mistakes. Is willing to take responsibility to their own mistake. Are you hearing me? Is everybody okay? A servant's heart. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 8. Would you read it with me? Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. A servant's heart is a servant that trusts God no matter what. No matter what. That person will not move. He'll wait, 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 wait. He'll wait till he dies if he has to. There is no anxiousness in a servant's heart. There is total trust. Anxiousness is nothing but fear. And the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. Well, if you have a servant's heart, you have perfect love. Why? Because you have the heart of Christ now, don't you? Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, what? Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no what? Want to those who fear him. In other words, you've got everything. Everything is available for you. God knows exactly what you need. Now, there are certain things he's going to have you birth in. Isn't he? But he knows, the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be what? Added to you. That's the one thing people forgot to do. They're so busy asking, they forgot about seeking. Come on, let's go on. Verse 10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is a man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. In other words, speak what God told you to speak. And your lips from speaking deceit, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and what? And pursue it. Ooh. See, a servant's heart, their sole desire is to please the king. Your sole desire is to please the king. That is your life. To please the king. That is your life. Proverbs 3. You know, we are accountable. We are so accountable. Especially around our children. Our children pick up exactly what we do. Same thing as spiritual children. I know that I'm accountable to spiritual children. They'll pick up what I do. That's why Paul said, imitate me, for I imitate Christ. There is accountability. If I take my daughter somewhere, I even go visit another church, she'll see her daddy taking notes wherever I go. No matter what, why, because I want her to follow. I want to be the example of her. I want her to be the example. I was brought up in a teaching church. And that's what God has established here, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and you'll either learn or you'll burn. Verse 5, Proverbs 3. Read it with me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Oh, hallelujah. See, you've got to get rid of that intellectual, burdensome, carnal mind. That wants to calculate and figure eight. How, when, what, how, ooh, he, ha, ha. Brings them right into the flesh. Contaminates the heart. And the heart of Christ lifts. Let me share something with you. The heart of Christ will lift from you. Just like the presence of God will lift from you. And you will struggle. See, you know when you're connected and you know when you're disconnected. You know that you know that you know. There's an outward connection, but there's an inward connection. You may touch the presence of God, you may feel the presence of God, but you cannot sense the presence of God within you. And that's the heart and the servant's heart, the heart of Christ. Are you hearing? Is everybody okay? No, are you listening? Good. In verse 6, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll what? Direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats fill will what? Overflow with what?
New wine.
With new wine. That way you can stay drunk all the time. See, an individual that is covetous does not have a servant's heart. Why? Because the whole thing is they walk in fear of the things that they may lose. They also walk in fear of the things they don't have. Then they lose sight that everything you own ain't yours anyways. Hello? In other words, you and I don't own anything, do we? But see, there's a place in the servant's heart as a servant of the King, that he has complete trust in the Lord and recognizes that their own possessions are the Lord's, but that the Lord's possessions are theirs to upkeep. See, if I'm walking as a servant's heart, I know that all that's mine is His and all that His is mine. Now, I'm accountable to upkeep everything of His. And He's responsible to take everything of mine because it's under warranty. I have a lifetime warranty. There's a lifetime warranty. See, when you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, it said on there, lifetime warranty. Oh, now, there are stipulations. Hello. Like, if you don't change the oil, the engine may seize. Well, that breaks the warranty. If you willfully choose to sin and step on the Spirit of grace, and count the blood of Christ as defilement, that will break your warranty. Let me share something with you. God leads, but you choose. God leads, but you choose. He won't interfere with your choice. He'll always lead you, but you choose. You make that final choice. Psalm 24. Is everybody okay? You know, I just keep hearing the word saying, tighten up. It's time to tighten up. Tighten up the hatches. Tighten up. More things are about to come. Tighten up. Tighten up. Psalm 24, verse 12. Yeah, right. verse 1. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Verse 3. Who may ascend in the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a what? Pure heart. Whoa. He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face. Deuteronomy 29:29. So before you can become a steward of the mysteries of God, what do you have to fulfill? Servanthood. You first must be a servant. There is a place where there is so much fear, reverence of God, that there is respect and honor in everything. In other words, you're willing to die for Him. You're willing to die for Him. In Deuteronomy 29:29, would you read it with me? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are reveal belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words in this law. So, see, the secret things are waiting for you. But you must do something first. Fulfill your servanthood. 2 Timothy 2. You must get a servant's heart to fulfill your servanthood. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Do you want it? Do you want a servant's heart? Then you got to pay a price. In verse 20, read it with me. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and for some for what? Dishonor. This is where a servant of the Lord that carries a servant's heart as a vessel of honor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Why? Because he has a servant's heart. Flee also useful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's only way to have a pure heart, and that's to have a servant's heart. The only way to have a servant's heart is to have the heart of Christ. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife and contaminate your heart. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to what? Teach. Oh, patient. In other words, that's one that can wait. In humbleness, correcting those who are in opposition of God, perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. They are vessels of honor because they carry the king's heart. Matthew 5. And we're going to close here. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 3. Matthew 5 verse 3. This is a fruit of a servant's heart. Read it with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they so persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we see, he says, poor in spirit, those who mourn, that's a representation also of intercession, praying for others, who what? Who are meek, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're merciful, they have a pure heart, they're peacemakers, and they're willing to be persecuted, no matter what the cost, and protect that heart. Now I want to share with you seven F's. F is in fear. This is how you're going to check this out of where your heart's at. A servant's heart. A servant's heart. This is what he does. He what? Fears. He fears. He has a reverence toward God that God is their everything. No matter what. There is a reverence toward God through the fear of the Lord that he is their everything. He is their what? Everything. The second one is focus. They focus. They don't lose focus. Why? Because they are seekers of his will. The third one is they are faithful. They are faithful to obey unto death. The fourth one is they are forgetters of their past. They are forgetters of their past life. It's no longer a part of their new life. Number five, they foster the weak and the abandoned. Number six, they are fighters against the evil forces. And number seven, they are finishers of each task from their command, and they wait for the next one. I'll give you the seven again. They fear, they focus, they're faithful, forgetters, they foster, they're fighters, and they are finishers. Is everybody okay? A servant's heart. You got to have it. If you don't have it, get it and be willing to do whatever it takes to get it. A servant's heart is a king's heart. He's a servant unto the king. He serves the king in every area. That person does not have a life. If you're fighting for your life, you don't have a servant's heart. If you're still grumbling and complaining, you don't have a servant's heart. And that's what God is bringing us to, a servant's heart. Why? Because only those with a servant's heart can He trust. Because now they have a heart of the king and they are like-minded with Him. Is everybody okay? Father, we thank You for Your word and we are honored and blessed. And we ask for Your forgiveness of every area where we've rejected a servant's heart. Wanted to play servant but never had Your heart. Lord, we ask that You'll keep us in place until Your heart is established in us, that we may have a servant's heart and bring glory to Your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.